Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're all safe and healthy and social distancing and plodding along as we try to get through this madness. Good podcast, really good podcast today with Andrew Perloff from The Dan Patrick Show, one of the Danettes. He shares his story about testing positive for corona antibodies and what he went through in terms of some health issues there and his experience with that. So it's not all corona, though. Once we get past that with Andrew at the top, then we get into some fun stuff about the Dan Patrick Show and their great booking and dance philosophy for interviews. And we talked about The Last Dance, Michael Jordan. Andrew, who's known for some great hot takes, gave us a few of those and covered a lot of fun stuff as well. So, and I should mention too, we also talked about sort of the mental health issues at the top of the podcast when we talked about Andrew testing positive for the antibodies. So we covered everything here, wide range of things. It's a really good interview with Mr. Perloff. And I should also tell you that if you have missed any recent episodes of the SI Media podcast in the archives last week, Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football and Fox Sports was on 2 weeks ago, Ian Eagle. 3 weeks ago, Chris Long. 4 weeks ago, Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarippa from The Sopranos. So if you missed any of those, go into the archives, subscribe, rate, and review. All right, let's get to this week's episode with Andrew Perloff from The Dan Patrick Show. All right, joining me now, longtime friend, former SI colleague, and one of the Danettes from The Dan Patrick Show, which can be heard on Fox Sports Radio and seen on YouTube. Always comes with the takes, Andrew Perloff. Andrew, how's it going?
It's great, Jimmy. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I'm healthy and, well, I'm not healthy, but I'm healthy in terms of corona. And I'm still working, so it's hard to be one of those, it's hard to complain when you have those two things going for you. I mean, listen, off the air, if you want to call me, I'll keep going for about 3 hours with complaints, but no one listening to this wants to hear that.
Well, I'll give you credit. You know, you tweeted about mental health. That's a big thing right now. I got to be honest. And friends of ours have been dealing with it. It's like, we got to lean on each other for this. It's not a time to be shy about the fact that this is stressful as all get out.
It's very, very true. And, you know, when this first started in early March, I said to a lot of people I know that, you know, people are not going to be able to stay cooped up for months and months and months without it affecting them in some way, even the most mentally healthy people. It's a weird thing that I really don't want to get into, but maybe another time. But it does seem like too, like there's a lot of people in this industry who sort of have similar issues with the anxiety. I'm amazed how many people I've seen from our business talk about it.
It's fear, it's like, I think didn't Kevin Love and some other athletes talking about depression sort of open it up. And it's not it's not less manly to talk about that, like the way it used to be probably, like you said, we don't have to get into it, but I think it's probably a good thing that people, especially kind of led by athletes who are supposed to be the most macho of the macho, are admitted sometimes, things are too much. And I agree, so many people in our industry are so scared, not just for their health, but also our jobs, we're under attack,
Well, I think that's why, if anyone feels any shame having some anxiety or depression or anything like that with what's going on now, I mean, please God, don't, because this is a situation where you are worried about your health, you're worried about your income, you're worried about your kids, you're worried about your parents, you're worried about what this country is going to look like in 6 months. You're worried about, I saw my parents last weekend for Mother's Day. First time I saw them since the first week of March. And, there's people who are used to seeing their parents on a, weekly basis almost. Think about kids. I mean, you have kids not seeing their friends, not going to school. I mean, this is the one where, if you're going to have some issues, this is going to be the time. There's no doubt about it.
But my parent, that's one of our biggest issues is I want to see my parents and my in-laws. They're in their 70s. So it's a big risk. They're in Boston and Philadelphia. you know, I don't know if we can get into it, but I tested positive for antibodies. I had it back in March. So I want that to be like proven to make me safe. But my doctor's like, well, I can't tell you that, you know, so that doesn't mean it's safe to visit your 75-year-old.
Well, that's the other issue. I mean, right. You know, it feels like if you get into this conversation with the wrong people, it ends up becoming political. And I think for me, forget the politics of it, if you just have a brain, I don't see how you can't see that the main issue with this is that nobody knows anything.
Oh, no one. My doctor is really good. And he's like, listen, I'd like to tell you facts about this, but the disease is presenting itself differently in everybody, you know, symptoms are different. They're across the board. You know, I was in a little bit of a message board with people who had it and were having some tough symptoms, and everybody has different things and the duration is different. They haven't had enough time to study what the effects are, what the immunity is. So I think that adds to the fear too. Like, we don't know.
Exactly.
Like, you know, so, you know, it doesn't matter how rich you are, how successful you are. It doesn't matter if you're LeBron James or if you're anybody. Like, you do not know where this thing is going. So we're all kind of in the same boat with that.
Exactly. Perfectly said. And that's, there's nothing that, if you have an issue with anxiety, there's nothing that will give it to you more than the unknown. And we are in the complete unknown. If you don't mind, take me through like your experience. Yeah. So when did you get the antibody test? Did you at all at any point not feel well? Give me sort of what your experience was like.
Yeah. And like you said, this is just speaking of my experience. It doesn't mean anything to anyone else or prove anything. But so mid-March, around March 16th, I had what I thought was, felt like a chest cold or like a congestion in my chest that developed into like a shortness of breath, like a wheezing, like asthma. Mm-hmm. And it lasted about 6 days and never got really scary. I called my doctor. He's like, no, trust me, do not come into the office, do not come in the ER. Remember in March, like the last place you wanted to go was the doctor's office because you know, if you didn't have it, you were probably going to get it there. So he was closed, as a matter of fact, too. I see a guy in Soho, New York. And so I thought that was sort of, you know, I thought, okay, I might have it, I might not. It might be anxiety, it might be a cold, it might be anything. Then what happened was, and I'll share this just in case I was listening, they had the same symptom. I had a swollen lymph node underneath my ear that popped out like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I know. It was totally freaked me out.
Were you able to see it in the mirror?
Oh, you couldn't miss it. Yeah. It was
wow.
And once you Google that, good things are not on there. Google. Right. Yeah. But it turns out they're pretty common. Usually means your body's fighting an infection. So I said to myself, oh, okay, that might mean that shortness of breath was possibly the coronavirus. And that's an infection I was fighting. So because of that, it didn't go away for weeks. I went into finally my doctor's office opened. I went in and showed it to him. I thought it could have been mono. I thought it could have been strep. I thought it could have been coronavirus. I didn't really know for sure. And he gave me, this is at the end of, closer to the end of April, to be honest. He gave me a coronavirus test and the antibody test at the same time, a little bit before most people had gotten the antibody test. And he's like, listen, these tests are not 100%, but this is the best one on the market for you for the antibody test. Anyway, it turns out I tested negative for coronavirus, which made sense because it had been like 4.5 weeks since I had first had symptoms. And then I tested positive for antibodies. The one thing that I had like a sore throat and exhaustion for like 3 weeks, like crazy exhaustion, which kind of stunk. By the way, I couldn't tweet much during draft season. And you know, that's my favorite time to stir stuff up with hot takes. And I couldn't do anything.
Why couldn't you tweet? I would think if you have a sore throat, tweeting would be perfect for you.
Well, No, I had about 6 hours of energy a day that I dedicated to the Dan Patrick show. And Dan was really, you know, I was remote and I wasn't near anyone. I was pretty good most of the day, but then I got like real tired. Like after the show, I kind of used all my energy on the DP show. So and then,
when you were going through that, when you only had like 6 hours of energy a day and all that, were you thinking in your head, I have coronavirus, or did you not think you had it?
So this is funny. I thought I had it and recovered. I thought I was recovered. And then the lymph node thing happened and then the sort of feeling of, I had mono in college, kind of bragging that I kissed a lot of girls in college, no big thing. But
I'm going to let it fly because I want to stick to the corona.
Yeah.
I'll let you get away with that one.
So it felt like mono. Like I was just like weird tired. And also too, I had a sore throat and my ears hurt, which is not a typical, it's not listed as one of the symptoms. So I didn't really know. No, I actually, to be honest, Jimmy, I wasn't perfectly sure what it was. And I didn't want to jump to a conclusion that wasn't accurate.
Now, if you don't want to answer this,
yeah,
just tell me to go F myself. Well, if you don't mind, though, so you have your wife, you have your kids. What was their health situation? Because I think one of the craziest things about this whole thing for me is that you'll hear about a husband has it, the wife is fine. The wife has it, the husband's fine. The mother and father have it, the kids don't have it. I know a situation where mother, father, son had it, but the daughter didn't in the same house. So that, again, going back to nobody knows anything.
Yeah. I won't get into too many details. My wife struggled with it. She she came down with it in March, and that's why we knew it was in our household, because she
did she test positive for the antibodies?
It was March 20th. There was no test. She hasn't got her antibody back yet, but she hasn't gone in to see a doctor, but she recovered. But she there were times where we're like, okay, what do? Do we have to go to the hospital now? You know, the one thing our doctor told us that I would suggest, get an oximeter. Do you know what that is? It's an oxygen reader that you can actually put around your finger to give you an idea if you're having trouble getting oxygen. It's not perfectly accurate, but she was having shortness of breath. So doctors helped her with it. They were great. Virtual visits, like online. Awesome. And that was a lifesaver, because that helped you deal with the unknown of it. And we were, you know, we consider ourselves lucky that our health insurance provided that. And we were through Weill Cornell Hospital in New York, which is awesome. And, you know, they talked her through it, and it's funny because, you know, the doctor's like, well, that's not a serious case. And it felt pretty serious to us. But, you know, it's such a serious disease. I know a lot, you know, I'm in downtown Brooklyn right by the bridge. We know a lot of people have had to go into get treated. And it's really, you know, it's a really nasty disease from what I'm hearing. You know, for me, it was like pretty, it wasn't like that. But man, it is, there are some tough stories in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, how scared were you when you and your wife were both sick?
Yeah.
Were you more concerned about like, oh, let's just get better, and, you know, or were you scared?
Okay. It was early. It was pretty early on. And thank God I had not read enough to be terrified. There was a certain naivete. Like, picture a couple days after the Big East tournament cut off the game at halftime. We did not know. I didn't know that people were going to bed and waking up not being able to breathe. You know, I didn't know all that. So fortunately for me, it wasn't like the panic didn't set in, because I was a little bit ignorant of how severe it could get, especially with me. Like I never felt, it's weird, I never felt like it was spiraling out of control. I was never really scared like that. You know what changed it for me?
What's that?
Tony Baselli came on the Dan Patrick Show and described what happened to him. And then the fear crept in.
He had a really, really serious case.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a former, you know, probably in great shape. I think he's in good shape now. He's 47. And he said, like, he told Dan, he went into the ER and they were like, we don't know which way this is going to go. And I was like, that's a huge, unbelievable athlete. If that can happen to him, man, this can happen to anyone.
Well, that's what I don't get about the whole, you know, this only happens to old people crowd. Like, if you're a sports fan, do you forget about the fact that this all started with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell?
Rudy Gobert is the watermark. He is my friends. When we talk about, like, to figure out, you can't remember what day is what, but you describe where you were when Rudy Gobert got tested positive.
Right.
It's like suddenly you're like, oh yeah, that happened a few days after Rudy Gobert. So he's like the Tommy John of this, like Tommy John surgery. He's famous for the surgery. Rudy Gobert, forget his playing career. No one's ever going to remember his playing career. They're going to remember he was the guy who tested positive. So that was incredible.
So did you miss any Dan Patrick shows?
There was 2 days. No, technically no, but I was remote way before the other guys. So, and I was only, the first week I was only partially contributing, in large part because I couldn't figure out my studio equipment. So Dan only had me pop in a couple times. Yeah. I was as I understand it, and like, I can't guarantee 100% that I did even have it, but as I understand it, I had a mild case. So it wasn't like, it wasn't impossible to do my work, especially remotely. Right. If I'd had to drive, you know, I have to drive an hour and a half up to Connecticut. That would have been a killer. But so for me, it wasn't too bad. And that first week, Dan was pretty helpful to sort of help me get through it.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. And it's pretty awesome that you didn't miss any shows. It's funny because you're talking about like the remote setup. I think it was Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football, who we both like immensely, who said something like, he said recently, like he's half his life is spent saying, "Can you hear me? Can you see me?"
Yeah, I love what it might have been him and Peter that evaluated or like did a ranking of home setups. That was hysterical. And it's funny, it was early on before everybody was noticing that Kyle like went through everybody at NFL Network setup. It was beautiful.
We're so used to it now too, because before we started taping, we were talking through the computer, and then Andrew dropped out. He heard me. I didn't hear him. He had to call me on the phone. I have the headphones in one ear, the phone on the other. And how is all that? I mean, you're doing a massive, enormously popular, like top of the line radio show on a daily basis. How's the tech stuff with all that?
Well, great. They sent me a gigantic box of equipment. It took three days for me to plug it in. So the key is, and anyone out there working from, the key is to hardwire into your modem. That changed everything for me, because what happens here is like, I have two kids. They sign on to Zoom for school. Like eight people are on Zoom in the house. So we have one guy on the show, Jimmy, you know, Fritzy. Fritzy's still like his kids. He's got two kids in high school. They'll be doing something on YouTube, and Fritzy will still freeze at like 11:45. Every morning. we all laugh so hard. Yeah,
that is so, you know, my guy Howard Stern has been doing his show from his basement in the Hamptons, and he has to end this show every day at 10 o'clock, because he says when his neighbors wake up at 10 and start using the internet, it's connected. It goes off.
That's the most successful radio person of all time. Right. That's amazing.
Supposedly they don't have fiber optics in the Hamptons, and that's like a big problem out there. So
so he's in the Hamptons. That's great.
Yeah.
So
it's like 9:50, and he's like panicking with Robin that he's got in the show because the neighbors are going to wake up, use the internet, and kick him offline. Basically,
did he do Tom Brady from there?
Yeah, he's been there the whole time. Oh, I mean, he's amazing. Basically said he'll never step foot in New York City again. So,
do you think? Can I ask you a question? Do you think New York City is going to be kind of cursed from now on? Are people going to be less likely to go here? Because I'm hearing that nationally on a national show. I hear a lot. They view us much differently. Where I'm right in the middle of it, and I don't know. I mean, I guess that could veer into an uncomfortable political area. But
no, I mean, listen, it's a good question. I mean, you know, I used to. When the SI offices were in Midtown, I would walk every day from Penn Station to Midtown and just curse it and dread it and think about how much I hate Times Square and hate Midtown Manhattan. And as I was doing that, I would, in the back of my head, I'd be like, you know, it's funny though, because this is considered like the center of the world. Everyone wants to come here, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, listen, I think travel everywhere is, you know, I had a big discussion. I was on a Zoom with a bunch of friends recently. And like, we're talking about like if we'd ever go to Vegas again or you know, have you seen the setup for Vegas at the poker tables with the it's not glass, it's probably plexiglass. And I don't want to play blackjack that way.
What's the point?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel. But other people are like, you know, let's go and, you know, they're ready to do anything. So I don't know. I think, you know, your personality is, you know, if you're someone who's usually fine with staying home, then, you know, you can sort of roll with the punches with the, you know, but if you're someone who likes to go to games every week and like, you know, I see these things on TV, I'll see like a game, you know, they play these old games and you see someone get like a walk-off hit in the ninth inning and everyone in the crowd is hugging each other and high-fiving each other. I mean, you see that now, and you just, I think about concerts I've been to where we're all packed in and like, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, those, it seems like without a vaccine, those are going to be really tough to get going. But you're right. I've noticed like it's something as simple as two guys shaking hands, like on a TV show. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty bold of those guys. What are they doing?
My dad's birthday last week was And we did like, you know, we went there, stayed far away from him, gave him a cake. And like, he's blown out the candle. I'm like, oh, I'm not touching a piece of that cake.
I know.
Droplets yeah. everywhere.
By the way, that also makes you think of like, how many gross things have we done through the year?
Oh my God. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. Hopefully, I mean, listen, the goal is like, let's get back to that world. But who knows what's going to happen. Let's talk about this. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm fine with sports without fans, by the way, to start.
Yeah, like give me anything. I mean, if my choice is a Yankee game on the YES Network tonight with no fans in the stands or nothing, I mean, how do you not opt for no fans in the stands?
Yeah, yeah. I texted you that I was into the NASCAR this weekend, which is not always the case. Because I had a buddy who's a degenerate just like you who had a big bet going, who's going to win Kenseth? Who finishes higher, Kenseth or Logano? That gave me plenty of reason to watch. I'm like, all right, I'm in. So if you gamble, then you're fine.
Well, that's the problem too. I mean, degenerates are just having a hard time without anything to bet on. I mean,
did you go into Bundesliga this weekend? Did you throw some down on Bayern Munich?
I've come a long way. I really only bet on the NFL and college football. So this is my off season normally, anyway.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I'm hanging. I haven't watched Bundesliga or NASCAR. Yeah. What else is, you know, golf?
South Korean, you know, baseball.
Yeah, no, it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet for me.
You did golf with such disdain. Like, you're not going to watch.
Well, no, you're watching. No, because Tiger. I was. No, because here's the thing. So, like, on the weekends, especially, I try to check out of Twitter. I'll go on there, throw up a plug for the podcast, and then I try not to check it because it just is not worth it on a weekend, especially if it's nice out. And, you know, but sometimes, like, you're waiting on curbside pickup or you're. You know, you're in the bathroom and you're scrolling through. And I saw these tweets about like a golf thing. And I texted someone. I'm like, is there a golf tournament this weekend? Like, where? He's like, well, it's in Florida. He goes, and there was like only five people in it or something. I'm like, oh, I thought it was like a real thing. And it wasn't. So that's why I say golf, because golf really hasn't come back yet. But I know they're supposed to. That's supposed to be the first sport that comes back, which would make sense because you don't really – fans are not a big part of the golf event as with other sports.
Yeah, but Tiger, Peyton, Tom Brady, that's good.
This weekend.
That'd be cool, I think. I don't know.
I mean, like, I don't know.
Why not?
If
better, like well, you said, it's better than nothing.
Right. Is it better than nothing? I guess it is. I guess it's better than nothing. Like, if they're going to, like, give us, like, the dad humor, then it's not going to be better than nothing. If they really go if they go cutthroat, then yes, it'll be worth my time.
You're right. They're going to be sad. I'll bet you the one guy who'll be – Phil will try and be really funny. But I don't see, like – and Peyton, I don't know. Peyton's supposed to be so witty. I'm not sure, but I feel like he's wittier when someone's writing lines for him. We'll see. This is going to be an interesting experiment.
Has Brady ever been on the Dan Patrick Show?
Not for years, because he has an exclusive, I think, with the WEEI in Boston.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So he hasn't really been able to come on.
I wrote a column today about him going on Twitter and Instagram yesterday and pushing these immunity supplements. And
I saw that.
I don't know if you'd want to go there. But if you have anything you'd like to comment on it, open the floor.
All I'll say is I agree. And
I don't want you to, like, you know, say something bad about Brady and, you know, you're trying to book him for the Dan Patrick Show.
I'm actually a big Tom Brady fan. I think he's so
me cool. too. He's my favorite player. Favorite player in the NFL when it comes to watching him play football.
You know why I like him? You'll appreciate this reason. He was at a restaurant. Don Banks, our old friend, who unfortunately passed at SI, was at a restaurant, and Tom Brady saw him walk in. Don didn't see him, and Tom bought him a very expensive bottle of wine and had it delivered to his table.
Oh, wow. Yeah, like I have no doubts that he's a good guy, and I actually interviewed him once in person. He could not have been nicer, more accommodating, was into the interview, wasn't acting like, you know, it was the last thing he wanted to do, even though I'm sure it was. But I mean, you got to announce you're selling immunity pills in the middle of a pandemic for $45 a bottle, and you made $200. I don't, I don't understand it on any level.
I get it. He's competitive. He wants his business to be a huge success, just like Jordan's Air Jordan business was successful, just like LeBron's had success in business and KD. Like, I think it's competitive. I think he wants to prove I can make this company big, TB12.
Yeah. You know? Well, the optics of that to me were pretty rough.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the first time he sold a questionable product.
But
yeah, but the timing is not good. Yeah.
So you said he was on DP a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I meant to say this is, I've always said this. I've said this to you privately. I've said it on the podcast. I mean, the booking for the Dan Patrick Show is so impressive. You guys get every A-lister, all the good guests, all the time. I know you don't do the booking, but give me some insight into, like, has it been a little bit now for me? It seems like you guys are still getting all the good guests. Has it been a little bit of a more difficult struggle to book so many good guests? Is it because it's a weird thing, the booking now, because when you reach out to someone, they can't say, oh, I can't come on, I'm busy.
Yeah.
No, you're not busy. You're home. So the excuses are out the window, but, and you guys still always manage to get the A-listers.
Yeah. We've had less trouble because they're all home. So, the good thing is too, you know how this business works. A lot of guys are promoting charities. So there's a good reason, you know, we need a hook, even for the best athletes. Dan wants a hook. He doesn't want to just talk to somebody who for no reason. So I'll give, you know, I'm obviously blowing smoke up my boss's ass here, but like Dan's reputation gets these guests. Like they all know Dan, you know, like, and also the other thing with Dan, they come on and they know what to expect. Like they know it's a Dan Patrick interview. They've done him before. Like Peyton comes on and he's been telling jokes with Dan. He was on a few weeks ago. Like he's been going back and forth with Dan Patrick for 15 years. So he gets it. And, so it's just reputation helps. And we've been good. And the big thing is, Jimmy, we've been going to a lot of Zoom interviews and they're great. They're really funny. Like, you know, that's been a real game changer. I think we're going to want to stick with that when things return to normal.
I feel like Dan is also good at not putting on the person who's there to just plug something and not, or the person, even if it's not a person who's there to plug something, but just doesn't bring anything to the table. Like you get a guest on Dan Patrick, they're going to say something.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. You're right. And also Dan's pretty picky too. Like he'll turn down a lot of interviews because he's afraid this guy won't say anything. He doesn't want to waste the listener's time. I have a thing when I'm listening to the radio, nothing will make me turn the dial faster than a boring athlete interview. Like if it's just like the, you know, the guy promoting Old Spice who's done 15 interviews in a day, doesn't even want to be there, then forget it. Like I'm turning.
It's a really tough line to try to like pull back the curtain on the industry because, you know, if you say, let's say, I'll say this, this is not Andrew, so come after me. If you say you have Rob Gronkowski on the podcast, like that's as big a name as it gets in the NFL ever, you know, but when he does an interview, he's horrific. He doesn't say anything, but then you can get someone who's maybe, you know, a lesser tier athlete who is tremendous, but people don't love the name. Not that they don't, you know, it's not as big a name, so they don't click or listen. And it's, you know, you're playing a tough game there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, It is definitely a balance, but I think if, given that information, if Dan knew that in advance, he'd be like, I don't want the big name because he's not like really like, he didn't feel like he needs to prove anything. So he will not do a big name just for the sake of a big name.
Right. They got to bring something to the table,
but they usually do, you know, with Dan, it's like Gronk's an interesting one. They're most guys, you know, I listen to your podcast. Most guys are pretty good, pretty fun with you. You know, they come on, you know, like my Mount Olympus is like, I think like Chris Long is the best. Like those kind of guys are like the rare breeds. I mean, for us, Charles Barkley is the best of the best. And, you know, like those guys are home runs. Not everyone's going to be like that, but a lot of former players, we know at this point. Like Dan interviewed them when they were playing, so we know. Then there's the guy who usually says nothing, Russell Wilson, who has just enough history with the show that'll give you actually one interesting minute in addition to 5 minutes of quarterback talk. So the history of the show helps us there. Have you ever had like a Russell Wilson? Like, I can't imagine you enjoying him for the media podcast.
I've never interviewed him and I don't know. He doesn't seem like a guy who would say much. So
no, I mean, he's actually unbelievably nice, but you're right. Like guys take different approaches. Some quarterbacks are like, I'm not giving you anything. Tony Romo never gave us anything during his playing years. Now he's like the best broadcaster in the business. It's totally a complete 180.
And then the other side of the coin too is if someone does say stuff and give you stuff, then they get destroyed and then they have to be quiet. You know, like a Baker Mayfield who has a personality, he's probably going to be a little more buttoned up now given, you know, his mouth has gotten him in trouble a couple of times.
Absolutely. Like early on during the quarantine, like NBA guys would come on and say one little thing. And since there was no sports going on, it'd get blown into high heavens as a huge headline. Right. So then all the NBA guys are like, I'm not doing these interviews. If you're going to take everything I say. I think like, you know, like CJ McCollum or something, who's unbelievable, said something and like became like the second link on ESPN.com or whatever. And I was like, I don't think he meant that.
I know you're a huge, huge NBA guy. Let me ask you, I'll ask you about The Last Dance, but let me also ask you this. I went on Twitter and said this a few weeks ago, and of course the assholes had to come after me because there's no nuance and anything like that on Twitter. But if the NBA came back, they're not going to come back and play a full season. It's going to be some sort of truncated season, and who knows no matter what happens with the NBA, if they return, it's not going to be a regular season. So I'm of the belief that whoever wins the NBA title this year, it's an asterisk. It's not a real season. What do you think?
I totally understand. I lean more towards, I'm going to give it like a strike shortened season, like 81 in baseball, 99 in NBA.
This isn't that because there's going to be no fans in the stands. There's going to be, you know, they're tinkering already with maybe what they do with play. I mean, how many playoff teams and round robins and this and that. If you're changing the way any normal season goes, then to me, it's not a real season.
What if you had a play-in? Say you had five more regular season games, or you had a play-in with like the 10th through the 6th seed to get in the playoffs, and then you had a full playoffs. Like, what's the difference? What does the last 20 games of the NBA season mean? They mean nothing. So
because it doesn't play out in terms of it doesn't play out the way it's supposed to play out because there could be injuries in those final 20 games. There could be anything can happen in those final 20 games. Now you take them out of the mix. So it's not, to me, a real season. But that's me. I know I could be wrong on that. What was your overall? See, I love talking to people who aren't affiliated with ESPN because then it's not just like, oh my God, I watched The Last Dance and had an orgasm and fainted and it was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. What was your overall take on The Last Dance?
So it's funny. I came in super skeptical. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to, they're shoving this thing down our throat. I'm like, it's such 90s nostalgia, blah, blah, blah. Then I'm sitting there like just glued to my TV. I'm like, thank God this is on because I have nothing to watch right now.
But it's so funny because the first thing you mentioned is 90s nostalgia. And to me, the best part of that was seeing all the stuff from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, no, it was. I thought I didn't want 90s nostalgia. Then I couldn't get enough of it. I'm like, look at those outfits. Look at the size of Michael Jordan's suit. It's gigantic. Yeah, yeah. And you know, like we remembered all those guys in the media, like, you know, there'd be like David Aldridge and like Peter Vesey. I was a huge NBA guy back in the 90s too. I would read Peter Vesey in the Post. I thought it was the best column ever.
Oh yeah.
And, so yeah, that was awesome. I loved all that. I liked all the little stuff in the documentary and I'm a pretty, obviously like you, are you a big Jordan? Oh no, you're a Knicks fan, aren't you? I'm a huge Jordan fan. I'm a huge Jordan fan. So
did your opinion of Jordan change on anything or in any way, or did you learn anything new?
Well, you know, no, I mean, I didn't really learn anything new. My opinion didn't change. I mean, I think he's the greatest player ever. Not exactly a hot take.
I agree.
I do think, and we had the director Jason Hare on a bunch of times. He's visited the studio before. He's a friend of the show, and he did a great job. But I don't think it was like a hard hitting documentary at all. Like Kendrick,
no, of course.
You know, I do think like I don't believe Jordan. I don't believe what he said about the pizza and the flu game. I don't believe a lot of stuff he said. He's like, I went down to. I don't even really believe his excuse on the. He's like the Atlantic City thing during the Knicks series was no big deal. Like I've heard, you know, we all know that guy. Like, oh yeah, it was no big deal. Yeah. Get out of here. You in the middle of a playoff series, you went to AC. Who knew what you were doing? I came away not believing him. I'll tell you that much.
I had a conversation with someone last night about what is less believable. Five guys delivered a pizza to Jordan and he was the only one who ate it, or Trump is taking hydroxychloroquine. I mean, I don't know which one is more absurd. The Jordan, the one thing I enjoyed The Last Dance thoroughly. I thought it was great. I love looking back. I wrote yesterday. I think there were so, like, the best parts to me had nothing to do with Jordan. I mean, the one this week where they show Larry Bird basically looking like he's at a funeral when Reggie Miller hits a three-pointer to give his team a lead with 0.4 seconds left. It was one of the great scenes in sports history because he knew Jordan was going to have the ball back in his hands. So he didn't even flinch.
And I love when that it had the footage of him coming back and cursing out Jordan. Those relationships were amazing. You know,
I still can't believe Pippen said he wouldn't have gone back in the game. I know. I mean, that's just surreal.
That's a bad week for Pippen. Although it did remind you, man, he would dunk on guys' heads. I was like, whoa, I had forgotten how good a player he was. I love that. I do think Isaiah Thomas got screwed over a little bit because I thought he was a great player. You know, when I came up, like, I think he, you know, and then ESPN put out an NBA list where he was 32 behind like Giannis and John Stockton. Like, I thought Isaiah was a little underrated in that one. I thought he was a pretty great player.
Right.
Do you think he's good? I mean, are you an Isaiah guy or give you?
Well, no, I mean, he's a top 3 point guard of all time. I mean, okay. I don't see how you dispute that.
Yeah, but he got killed in that documentary.
Well, the handshake thing, and I don't know.
Yeah,
the Isaiah stuff wasn't as interesting to me as maybe some of the other things.
Oh, I love the whole thing. And by the way, like you know it's a copycat industry. There's going to be 700 documentaries in the next 2 years. Basically,
well, you know, let me ask you this. So Tony Reale put this ad on Twitter yesterday, saying like, you know, who can be the subject of a sports doc that would, you know, come close to this sort of level. And he mentioned the one person who would be my answer, because I've said it before. Do you have an answer to that question?
Ooh. Well, I have a couple. I said them today on the show. Do a documentary just on LeBron's decision in whatever year that was. Just that. And Magic staying at HIV. Although there might have been a documentary on that already. I don't even know. And then
I think they did a Bird Magic one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did one just... I mean, I remember that. I remember that being in high school and finding out in the afternoon about that. That was wild.
And 90s Cowboys. Everyone says 90s Cowboys. Just so get that out.
The guy Reale said who would be my choice is a guy that has been a part of our lives since basically, you know, we were able to put on a television, and probably the guy we know the least about, except other than the fact that he's crazy, Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah. That'd be unbelievable. That's almost too big for a documentary. How do you do a documentary? And you have to understand, like, I was an 80s WWF freak. Like, I went to the Spectrum every month. You know, I'm like this nerdy guy, but I would wear my Roddy Piper t-shirt and scream my head off at the Spectrum, which, by the way, I guess you can't do with social distancing anymore. And I've seen the evolution of Vince McMahon. Like, I've seen it through the years. I kind of lost track lately, but that would be – it almost feels like 10 parts would not be enough. How would you do it? The 2XFL? Right. Oh, my God. You're right.
I still think the interview, him and Costas on HBO, is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life on television. But he would be a guy, you know, because I remember when HBO did the very successful Andre the Giant doc last year, 2 years ago with Simmons. I remember I interviewed Simmons. He was promoting the Andre the Giant doc. And we talked about who else could sort of be someone that would make a documentary on that level. And I said Vince, and he agreed. But you know, Vince is not a guy who might sign up for that, but that would be the one. So I always, when we worked together, no one throughout, like, you were the first hot taker I ever knew. I have to say that. And I didn't even know what hot takes meant for like a year on Twitter when people would say it. I had no idea. But you were the ultimate, and to me, the first, the trailblazer of the hot take.
Yeah, but I didn't get skipped for people.
Right, exactly. You didn't capitalize. I mean, what people don't know is that Andrew once told me in the SI office that LaDainian Tomlinson wasn't a good running back because he only ran 8 yards and fell down. That's an exact quote. So give me, like, what's the hottest Andrew Perloff take right now? Any sport, anything?
What's that?
Do you have, like, a hot, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Bucks take? Do you have the Chiefs are going to be 4-12 this year take? Like, what's – give me a
– Well, I did – I did say the other day on Twitter that Magic Johnson was a disappointment because he didn't score enough in his career. And people
God. There it is. That is vintage. You actually had one recently. I'm going to go through your Twitter feed. You had one recently where you made my head spin.
What was it? Oh, my God. It was some system.
The worst is the best is when sometimes you'll actually have a smart take and like I shudder. I'm like, what is this?
Do you remember when Richard Deitch used to get all mad at my hot takes? He'd be like, but you know, like if you don't say hot, like I don't like the conventional takes. Like everybody could do them. I think that there was way too much of it. And by the way, I was right on some things, just so we're clear. Some.
Who was the quarterback you loved coming out of college? He came to the office. He was throwing the ball over.
Case Keenum?
No. Wasn't it someone else?
Well, Case was throwing the ball around SI's office. That's what I
thought. Houston. I think he played for Houston.
Yeah, he was with Houston.
That was Case?
Yeah, he was throwing the ball around. We all fell in love with him. That's how I became a lifelong friend with him. I was just
texting. There's got to be another. This is the one here. Where you? I'm going to defend Scottie Pippen for sitting out the last 1.8 seconds. I said I can't even respond to this one.
Well, everyone said that LeBron was too passive for years in the final seconds. Like, you know, like because he wouldn't take the last shot. Well, Scottie made a stand. Like they would have, you know, LeBron didn't take this. Yeah, there you go.
That is such a great Andrew Perloff take. Right
there. Yeah, come on.
I'll give you what I thought your best take ever was. This line still stays. You probably said this line to me maybe, let's see. When did you work in the SI office? Do you remember like what years was it?
I think it was 04 through 10.
All right. So you probably said this.
Yeah.
You probably said this line 15 years ago, and it's still in my brain because I think it's dead on your best take. I still, even at this age, which is kind of sad, I have an affinity for like the high school movies, whether it's like American Pie, like high school, like American Pie from recent times, yeah, or Just One of the Guys, if you're old school 80s, Karate Kid, even that. And you had the line, I'll never forget it. You said, if it's got a locker, I'm watching it.
It's still true to this day.
And it's line I've ever heard about movies.
I think about saying that line all the time too, because like now Netflix has like 1,000 shows about high school. And right. I'm like, my wife's not in the room. I'm going to just check this out.
And then we were like, big on like 90210 back in those days, like all that stuff, you know. And you said, if it's got a high school locker, I'm watching it. Yeah. Best line I've ever heard.
There's a new season of Riverdale coming up.
But, my 14-year-old niece is watching those episodes as we speak. So there you go.
Oh, the best, but even better than that was our coworker who would watch Gilmore Girls in the middle of the day.
You know what I'm talking about. Yes. It wasn't Gilmore Girls. It was One Tree Hill.
I know. You'd be running around crazy in the middle of the day. Glued to One Tree Hill.
Those are some fun days.
Yeah, we all can get the gang back together. I guess we can't now. We should do a Zoom.
There's no more gangs getting back together.
Yeah, we should do a Zoom though.
We can do a Zoom and reminisce.
And of course, you and I are famous because we both edited Dr. Z, which is like, you know, you would deserve combat pay.
It was one of the best experiences of my life. It really was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he loved you and he loved me too. He loved us. So he never was yet mad at us. But if you took out the wrong sentence, oh my God.
Wrong sentence. If you just changed a word.
Yes, even if it was a right change. Like if you removed a comma. Looking back on it, Jimmy, I'd have been like, why did I ever edit a word of him? I should just posted it as he said it in. Like, what was I thinking?
You know, there was a point where I used to be Frank DeFord's, and I'm using air quotes here, editor. I'm like, who the fuck am I to edit Frank DeFord? I would spell check it and post it. But like, I'm not changing one word of this guy's copy.
Oh, I know. That is absolutely true. The editing I used to do, like I thought I had to do that to justify my job. But now, the internet, like now the written word is less valuable, let's say, and the edited written word isn't even a thing anymore. Right. So, by the way, have you ever done a magazine piece at SI? They had like 400 editors copy editing it. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like it got to the point. I was also thinking something funny. When I first started at SI.com, I did NFL, but we all had a second sport. So I had to do NASCAR too. So I was a NASCAR editor.
Yeah. At one point I was doing, I think, golf and so I'm like, I got to get, I thank God I came up with that idea for Hot Clicks. Got me out of doing anything but Hot Clicks.
Yeah. You, by the way, if I was the first hot taker, you've changed things even more severely. Now, little did you know, the entire world was going to become Hot Clicks in about 3 years, you know, like that's all there is now.
That's very nice of you to say. I wouldn't go that far, but it was that was a really fun time, I must say.
Back so why is it that Skip Bayless got the hot takes and Rex Chapman has all those videos now?
Right.
And you and I are sitting here on a Tuesday afternoon trying to amuse each other.
Like, can I go 5 minutes without Rex Chapman being retweeted into my feed?
I know. And by the way, he's a great.
I got it. The kid said something nice. The kid, you know, kissed his dad, and I got it.
Yeah, a dog and a baby are sleeping together.
Yeah, I'm such a monster. I see him retweeting my. I'm like, oh, okay. What? Let me guess. You know, the 4-year-old came over and made, you know, a cupcake for his dad who was, you know.
What is wrong with you? What,
building a swimming pool for him.
What is wrong with you? You are
different. I know.
You are going to cause. I don't care if you're political, but you can't diss Rex Chapman in public.
No. Again, this is the thing. I'm not dissing Rex Chapman. I give him immense credit for what he's created. But it's like every 5 minutes someone retweets him. Like, dude, we all see the Rex Chapman tweets. You don't have to retweet it. We've got it. We've all
That's a funny thing. Now it's like something happens. Like, I don't know. There's like, no, you can't surprise anyone with a click because everybody has seen everything now.
Like, well, the one thing he posted recently, a video that I had in Hot Clicks like 20 times back in the day with the two Fox 5 New York, the anchors in the studio and the reporters like reporting on some like landlords screwing over people.
Oh, yeah.
And they start fighting on the air. It's one of my favorite clips of all time.
Oh,
I was glad he like brought that out to people because that's a phenomenal clip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, they're all pretty great. I mean, I always say, oh, I'm not going to like this one, that I end up liking it. But it's a certain, like, I can't bring a Rex Chapman clip into the Dan Patrick Show and talk about it because it's like kind of played out by the time. Nowadays.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the thing about this. The speed at which things become old, everything's old after an hour. It's just crazy.
Right. So the pace, like, you couldn't do Hot Clicks the way you did it before.
Right.
Because
right.
of social media.
Pretty much, yeah. All right. Do you want to throw out one more hot take before we wrap this up, or are you good?
Let's see. Well, let me think about. Oh, yeah. I got. Who do you think I'm most excited? Who's going to be the Hall of Famer out of this draft class? There's one guy.
Because it's going to be someone like I don't know.
It's a skill position. Not a quarterback.
Oh, God. It's probably a wide receiver.
Yep.
Oh, God. By the way, my favorite part of this draft was the Chiefs getting the running back from LSU. Okay. Oh, my God. Like, they need more NFL. Like, they need more.
Yeah.
Which receiver are you going to say?
And, you know, like, I'm a pretty serious YouTube scout. I'll give a good 3.5 minutes to everybody in this draft.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch Burrow, though.
This is, by the way, this is not a hot take, but this guy.
Oh, Jerry Jeudy.
How did Jerry Jeudy fall to 15? Watch.
Is that the guy?
Yes. He's going to be on.
Oh, my God. I know you like a buck.
Yeah, of course you do. You kind of considered that it might go CeeDee Lamb there, but I went Jeudy, and he's unbelievable.
Yeah. And, but that's not like a vintage Perloff hot take.
Well, the thing is, too, you can't do the year ahead mock draft thing anymore because now that everybody knows, like,
do you have like a Monday Night Football broadcast booth hot take?
Oh, you know, I like Levy a lot personally, so I'm totally down with that.
Me too.
I like Orlovsky a lot, and I like Riddick a lot. I'm totally down with that. You know, no, I don't really have a hot take. I've been following it pretty closely. It's interesting. I don't need a great player in there. I'd love, but I'm not a huge, and you and I might differ here. I'm not a huge color analyst guy. Like, I don't, because Sunday Ticket, I don't even know which game Romo's doing every week. So, you know, I love what he does at Super Bowl. But
my thing with the booth is I just want two people in the booth, not three. That's usually my thing. Do you have like a Brady Bucks hot take? What do you think the Bucks record is going to be this year?
So they were working out at a high school in Tampa Bay with now O.J. Howard, Cameron Brait, and Mike Evans were working out. Am I wrong, or is this like 57 touchdowns for Tom Brady? I look at that talent.
To be the Bucs record?
12-4.
All right. It's,
why? Yeah, I thought the over-under would be a little higher on them. I think they're going to be great. The defense picked it up at the end of last year. Mike Evans made Johnny Manziel a Heisman winner. He's amazing.
Still not a vintage Perloff hot take.
Let's see. Do I have a team? Okay. Do I have a team? No, I, it's hard. Yeah, I told you this stupid coronavirus knocked me off of my prime hot take season. Like, I would go pre-draft, like system quarterback. Oh, I love Tua. I mean,
I need something like, you know, you defending Scottie Pippen. Like, it's got to be a,
like an NFL take. Okay.
Anything. I don't care what sport it is. It doesn't even have to be sports related. Do you have a movie hot take, a TV hot take, Netflix, anything?
Oh, man, I said one. Okay, this is backed on the, you know what storyline is completely overrated? This makes this actor.
There we go. Now you got me excited. Now you got me excited.
Not a good defender. Boom. No, you're not talking about that. See, every time, every highlight was Karl Malone dunking on Dennis Rodman's head. I don't think he was
actually. Karl Malone's one of the greatest players in the history of the game.
Yeah, Barkley used to kill Rodman too, but everyone had the storyline that he was the most amazing defender. Okay, that's not good though. That has nothing to do. Edit that.
I mean, the guy pulled down like 24 rebounds a game.
Yeah, the dude could rebound, whatever. I want to go. Okay. Well, you know, the original one was system. Everyone's a system quarterback. And right. I'll just tell you real quick. This is not a Dan. We had Joe Montana on at Super Bowl, and he's sitting there with Dan in the interview. And Dan goes, "Hey, do you know McLovin over there?" Joe's like, "No." And he's like, "Yeah, he said you were a system quarterback yesterday." Joe Montana is the nicest man in the world. His eyes turn like red. Yeah. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, are these system rings?" And holds up his hands.
Oh, that's a phenomenal response. Yes.
Yeah, I was that's like, great. Oh, I was like, I worship you. But I mean,
that's awesome.
I mean, Steve Young did just as well. Whatever. I'm not going to get into that. I'll tell you what, Jimmy. I feel like I needed more prep time, and I need to be in my NFL place. But I hope
you can shoot me a take on Twitter when you come up with one.
I will, buddy.
All right. I appreciate you coming on, Andrew Perloff from the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, and YouTube. Stay safe, and
Yeah. I hope I see you soon.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
That's kind of a depressing send-off, by the way. Like, hope I see you soon. We both think.
All right, yeah. Let's end it on best like high school related movie. Mine obviously American Pie is my like favorite comedy of all time. So my answer is American Pie. You give me like your favorite movie about that takes place in sort of high school or college.
Okay. I am going 16 Candles.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah.
Great answer. Great answer, great movie.
A little maybe older than you. Yeah, 60. Yeah, but American Pie, I rewatched it the other day. The first
one. All right, let me ask you, controversial. So would you go 16 Candles over Breakfast Club?
Yes, because it's funny.
Okay.
And by the way, it's so un-PC. They can never do that movie right now.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But see, I think 16 Candles over Breakfast Club is a bad take, so I like that. So I might throw that one on Twitter and see if people roast you on that one.
Wait, you think Breakfast? Oh, yeah, Breakfast Club is too close to home. The Anthony Michael Hall character was basically told my high school life story, down to the made-up girlfriend in Buffalo and failing wood shop. That's like an autobiography of Andrew Perloff in high school. Just if you're wondering what I was like in high school, watch Breakfast Club.
I'm ending the pod right there. Thank you, Andrew. Perfect.
Later, Jimmy.
All right, take care. Be well.
All right, thanks, bud.
All right, that wraps up this edition of the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. Appreciate you guys listening, and Andrew was fantastic. Hope you enjoyed it. Love to hear feedback. If you have any, hit me up on Twitter. And if you missed any recent episodes, last week Peter Schrager from the NFL Network and Fox Sports was on. 2 weeks ago, Ian Eagle. 3 weeks ago, Chris Long. And 4 weeks ago, if you're a Sopranos fan, Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarippa. So go into the archives and give those a listen. And if you can subscribe to the SI Media Podcast, it helps tremendously. And that wraps up this edition. We'll see you next week. Take care.